OBEs. Well, they call it out-of-the-body experiences. Well, there's thousands upon thousands that are having it. There are those who have written many books. Astral projection, getting out in your spirit body into the astral realm. There's very deep similarities between that and remote viewing. There really are. There's the engagement with, again, we are spiritual beings. But what spirit, what outside non-human presence does engage the human race? Now, in out-of-the-body experiences, and I'm going to tell you about the one that I had, not here, not live today, but I will tell it in the 30-minute analysis of the movie Insidious. Insidious was out a week ago, and a friend wanted to go see that, and so I did. Again, reading it like a book, analyzing it all, and what it's saying about the culture and to the culture. And it involves a young boy that had gone out of his body, that he travels out of his body. And as you find out later in the movie, it's because his father traveled out of the body. It's generational. But the issue is he couldn't get back. And there were entities that wanted to get into his life, into his body, and specifically this insidious spirit. I mean, to tell you the truth, the name of the movie is very good because it depicts the demonic side as insidious, as evil. Well, they tried to. I mean, they did a good job at depicting on film how the demonic entity will come and try to fuse or get into the body. Out of the body experiences. Well, there's, again, hundreds of thousands that have talked about the experience. There's the near-death experience where on the operating table or after a car crash, a person's on a gurney on one of the tables in the hospital, and they find themselves floating up into the air, looking down at their body. In some ways, that's similar to what we were taught in Golden Buddha about when you begin to leave. You know, I was able to turn around and look back. Now, I'm telling you that we're going to do a 30 or 45-minute analysis of the movie. I'm only mentioning it here because of two more in the series on species, non-human intelligences. Today, we're going to deal with Panaraeus Pneumaticae and also Planos spirits. This is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness Live Radio. Now, it is a Friday night, April the 15th at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But because on Thursday the 14th, we had a major interruption, was not able to go live. The systems did not work to connect us. We were here ready and willing to go, and we were prepared. But right then at 6 o'clock, when we are usually connected, everything was frozen. And there was no way to connect on Thursday night the 14th. So if you are listening by archive later, then Thursday the 14th and Friday the 15th have been combined. Combined to have it live on a Friday night, but also in the archives, those two dates will be together. They'll be the same. We will deal with Thursday night's Panaraeus Pneumaticae and the Planos. Those are, again, designations the Spirit of God has given to a type, a ranking, or species of the demonic. Welcome to Shatter the Darkness, a live broadcast. This is Russ Dizdar for anybody new. Welcome to the satellite listeners, internet listeners, and by the thousands worldwide, the dear folks that download, we want to say welcome. All over Europe, all over Russia, all over the United States, around the world, there is a massive ramping up in the last 30, 40, 50 years when it comes to engagement with spirits. I was reading in a book the other day, I think it was entitled The Science of the Soul, but it was going back to pre-Nazi Germany and the development of Nazi Germany, and it talked about the spiritual secret societies and groups, and then it began to discuss mediums and how mediums were on literally, they were on every single Cafe Corner. They were everywhere throughout Germany. They were there engaged in telling people and trying to, show people they could contact the dead. And so we find this major spiritual buildup during that time. There's a very deep but much broader level of this as we move towards the great chaos and a new world order. There has been, well, even as a cult historian, and I've mentioned this before, James Webb says that the second largest proliferation of occult literature, again, that opens all the doors and comes from the writings where spirits, Planos on individual basis, Cosmocrator on a larger, broader national basis, will bring communication and lead the writings. And we're going to read today where it's talked about as demonic doctrine or didache of demonoia, where spirits really are engaging individuals and they are writing what the entities are saying. A certain kind or species. I'm not saying that all demons wouldn't try this, but it would seem that Cosmocrator is involved as ascended masters, secret chiefs, where they're drawing individuals to come to the area where they are located to seek that information. Now, that's what I was trained in and what I was being trained in, to seek those masters, Cosmocrators. On another level, there are Planos, and we're going to give description to that, but also to the Panareus Pneumaticae. Now, that is very, very insidious, wicked, demonic presence. Let me give you a few updates, and then we're going to go right into the entire body of the message tonight. Again, I want to say welcome to everybody. We do appreciate you being here, listening. Send us a little note just every once in a while from wherever you're listening, especially if you're downloading. And we are in deep prayer for all dear folks in the Ukraine, in Russia, all in that region, because we began to get in there after 2 years of prayer. Then there was a cutting off or silence. Now there are thousands and thousands of downloads. And I don't doubt that by the providence of God, that might involve engaging older Russian Psy warriors and others that have been drawn into the projects. But whether it is the Psy warrior or those experiencing out-of-the-body experiences or near-death experience type things, well, there's a sense of leaving the body and yet an engagement with entities. Pretty dangerous thing, pretty dangerous practice. In my own, again, I will describe in a broader way in the analysis of the movie Insidious. We've been trying to get to that all week, and we'll tell you only that just look later today or on Saturday, and we should try to have that out for you. Let me also say that the Book of Acts, we've added session number 4. That is all about the Spirit of God and His work and the power and the grace and the might of God as God would be operative. So even though I'm bringing exposure from the Word of God. Now, what is the Word of God? It is the language of the Spirit of God. Spirit-inspired. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 2 and 3, you can read about how that these spiritual truths were brought out in spiritual words that the writings, the grapha, all the writers, 40 writers knew that. They knew they were being led and guided to bring out what God was revealing. So this is the revelation of the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God's task, as Scripture is spoken about in the book of Timothy, that all Scripture is God-breathed. Now, that's a very powerful word, the only time it's used, inspired in the other older translations. But here, as I read, it's translated God-breathed. It has the picture of being breathed out, the Spirit of God moving on Amos, moving on David, moving on Jeremiah, moving on Daniel, and the other writers, and then Mark and John and Paul and others, as the Spirit of God guided. The Bible teaches that the Spirit of God carried them along and that their redeemed personalities were fully active and unique in inspiration through their writing styles. So it shows us, if you ever do a deep study on the inspiration of Scripture, Benjamin Warfield is a great study on the inspiration of Scripture. A great book, an easier book to read, is René Pache. Some pronounce it Pash. René Pache, the authority, inspiration and authority of Scripture. The inspiration and authority of Scripture. Now, if you're somebody that really wants to understand how the Scripture came about and what the Scripture says about itself, you are reading the language of God the Holy Spirit. He takes credit for the ultimate outcome. And so it's amazing that there is a major contrast to the two sides, and that's part of the issue. We are in a day and an hour of massive contrast the world over. As the Spirit of God says in the end of days, there's going to be massive, massive ramping up. That is, there'll be an increase of the kinds of spirits that we're talking about here. And again, I'm mentioning the ones that we started off with. And this week, the theme for the entire week has been species, non-human intelligences. Now, that phrase, non-human intelligences, is used by a lot of individuals in the world of UFO and alien abduction, in the world of psi spies and psi warriors and remote viewing and, well, many others, non-human intelligences. But that doesn't give the true nature. They're there, that's for sure. There's no question about that. We've engaged hundreds of individuals who've had these entities on them and in them in an insidious way. There is in Ephesians 6, described by the Spirit of God. Now, you've got to understand the difference. The Spirit of God is called the Holy Spirit, Eternal Spirit, Spirit of Truth, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God. Now, it is the Spirit of God that has given the words, given the Scripture, brought it all about. But this is where the Holy Spirit, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, He's God, has, well, in describing the entities out there. I mean, I really don't believe you can get this anywhere else. It is the Spirit of Truth that engages the demonic realm, because one of the mate, and I've given this word out numerous times now, comes out of 2 Corinthians, where we read Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Well, the word masquerade, metaskizmazatai, that the sense of this is that they're able to perceive what is needed and then transfigure the physics of these entities. They can transfigure and present themselves as something completely different from what they really are. It's not as though they can change their nature or their will. They don't change their nature. They don't change their will. They just change their presentation. Because within them, darkness reigns. Within them, it's eternal darkness. Jesus said concerning Satan, and this is true of the rest, there is no truth in them. When Satan speaks, he lies. When he lies, he is speaking his native. This is what is embedded. Whereas the Spirit of Truth will only bring truth. And you got to understand the infinite presence of the Spirit of God. You read Psalm 139. Where can I go from His presence? Where can I flee from His Spirit? If you're listening right now, wherever in all the world, the Spirit of God is there. In the world of finite spirits, including the fallen cherub himself, they can't be in all places at all times. There's a collective. There's a worldwide collective. They are connected. They really are. The prince, this is Satan, of the power of the domain of the air. So vital to understand, up there above our heads, in the atmosphere, that spiritual domain, that spiritual place where around the world they operate out of. Now it's becoming more and more dense with them coming to this side. It's becoming more and more, in many cases, and this is again my view, feelable, you sense, you know, hanging over cities and even nations and places, a darkness. dark presence is coming over more and more. And that's because, well, they are ramping up towards something. There's that evolutionary progressive development. It will lead to the events, the great massive anarchy collapsing all things, the apocalypse of Antichrist, the rise of the regime that is most likely already in place, and the ascendancy of the false prophet. Now, when that does occur, when this great chaos, which is, in my understanding, of all biblical prophecy. Now, I understand there is birth pangs and what Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24. There's going to be a lot of disruption around the world. And there'll be a lot of the signs, including earthquakes, by the way. But the event that will literally rock the world is the red horse or the great rebellion or chaos. There's going to be no mistaking of that. Now, the reason I bring that up is because the kinds of demonic entities that are considered rulers over nations primarily. Some translate that principalities. This is Ephesians 6, by the way. And the Spirit of God also then mentions purposely exousia, authorities, those who have positions of authorities. Now, we did this Monday night, RK. Tuesday night, we did definition and the working of the authority, the demonic exousia. And then Wednesday, we did cosmocrators on a global scale. In a fallen world, there are these ruling and it seems as though they would be collective or grouped together in areas, but they're the ones leading and guiding. That's Wednesday night. Now tonight, and I don't want to, don't forget in this revelation of Ephesians 6, skotos, in this darkness. And when the Spirit of God paints that picture of Socrates, skotos is that's a depiction of the satanic influence embedding in philosophies and man-made or spirit demon-inspired religion and governments and so forth, where there's darkness, where they're in charge and active. Well, then it goes into one more category. And I already said the other nights that there's a reason why the Spirit of God is naming them. And first of all, if the Spirit of God is naming them, then we should take notice. There's a reason for that. There's an importance. We're told in Ephesians 6 for the believer in Christ that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is directly engaging Arche. This is the principalities that oversee nations. Towards darkness and subjugate, like, again, the Prince of Persia. Exousia, these demonic entities, probably under the rulers, operate in drug trade, in development of areas where they have stronghold, where they have position of authority. That could be in government. That could be in many other areas, but that's where they would exercise, where they've gotten the rights and or taken rights where there's been willingness on the human side. Now, cosmocrators, again, like ascended masters, like whenever you hear the Nazis and the background of their spirits and guides, the secret chiefs, I believe they're involved in secret societies. I believe it's those that are particularly involved in worldwide, like Masonic Masons, Rosicrucians, secret societies like that, developments that all bring about ultimately the promise of a secret elitist esoteric knowledge, and one that you got to get to maybe by step-by-step procedures, an incremental approach, a left-hand path approach. But now we're going to deal with today two other areas, and this is Panareus Pneumatikai. Now, that is just simply spirits of wickedness, spirits of evil. The Spirit of God is painting a picture of a kind. And it's vital that we really do understand. It really is. It's vital that we understand, because many listening to me right now may have had this kind of spirit. Now, if you're a New Ager, you may have had Planos spirits. And let me just stop here to mention, I'll be going to 1 Timothy 4:1. Now, let me read this, so I want to give again where the Spirit of God is the one defining demonic entities by their type or species. And so we look at 1 Timothy 4:1, it says this, "Now the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly." Now what is that word expressly? Retos, that means definitively or explicitly. It is almost a word that designates that the Spirit of God has raised His voice, and with impact and explicit detail, He is speaking about what is going on. Notice I said He. God the Holy Spirit person. He. He speaks, raising His voice with explicit emphasis. And we are to take it that way. If you're a believer in Christ, listen, the Holy Spirit has now raised up His voice and is speaking with us with, emotion, strength, and explicitly or expressly or in detail. And here's what that revelation of God the Holy Spirit says, that in the latter times, the latter chronos, this is saying that some will depart from the faith. Some will move away from Christendom, giving heed to seducing spirits, to planos. Now that's a Greek word, planos. The Spirit of God chose planos, primary meaning deceiver, seducer. Although when you look up the definition of the word, you'll find the word imposter there also. And they are there to seduce and to deceive and to bring about what is called here didaskalos or didaskalia. This is teaching. They're going to bring about teaching just as the Spirit of God brings. I mean, you're reading your Bible, you're reading that. The Spirit of God gave that. You know that it's living words, that God is in the words, in power, in life. The words are spirit and they are life. So it's an incredible thing to read the Word of God. It really is. But it's also on a contrast and a counterfeit development. There is inspired writings by daimonia, the Greek word daimonia. And this is this teaching, this didaskalia is filtered throughout the world. Now, I mentioned Alice Bailey, but I believe ascended master to bring about a body, a movement, to bring an expressed agenda into the world that has now affected, some would say 500 million, maybe I'm saying maybe up to a billion worldwide, the New Age movement. Now, that involves their ruling oversight of this movement to influence the world towards that ultimate Luciferic globalism. Whereas Planos spirits, they're engaging and have been for years. I mean, way back with the Gnostics, they did this in the early church. And so you got to understand that there were entities behind the development of the Gnostics in the early church. And that was probably one of the biggest counterfeit, contrasting spiritual movements that engaged the body of Christ. That again, these kinds of spirits, Planos, and I would say the masters, the cosmocrators, they have no problem trying to take the Scripture and Christ. And here's what I've noticed in all the writings, demonic writings that I've read, books, materials. The demonic, and even when engaging individuals who have, you know, demonic presence in them, when they've ever tried to quote Scripture or claim that they were Christ. Well, this is it. Two things that are factual and consistent. They cannot and they will not ever quote Scripture correctly in context for the purpose of bringing out the Scripture as it speaks, as it says. Their goal is to take it And I think it's because of their nature, too. Almost as if they cannot. See, the Spirit of God can take His Word and bring out His Word explicitly clear, and there's never an issue of misinterpretation when the Spirit of God is unveiling His Word. But when demonic presence, spirits, cosmic riders, or these planos seducing, again, their function is to seduce. Their function is to deceive. Their function is to act as imposters. Oh, we are angels. Oh, we are God. Oh, we come from God. We are part of a hierarchy from God. Well, that's their nature. And they never, through those who have had automatic writing or those who have had dream states and other engagements with this process, they never quote Scripture correctly. They can't. But let's also say, because of their nature, they won't. That's not their goal. They will never bring out that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, Savior of the world, and try to lead individuals to Christ. They will instead give a replacement, because they are part of the, well, as 1 John calls it, the spirit of Antichrist. They will come to present a different Christ. So individuals with out-of-the-body experiences, near-death experiences, remote viewers like Courtney Brown that says that he went out and engaged an entity that was Jesus Christ. Now, when I read the story, and you can find it on the web, just put in a search on Courtney Brown, remote viewer who talks to Jesus. You're going to find out in this detailed description, he's not talking to the living Christ. He's not talking to the Savior that died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended. And listen, we have Stephen in his martyrdom looks and sees Christ at the right hand of God. That's the locality. We have the Apostle Paul that's brought down to his knees. We have John on the Isle of Patmos experiencing the resurrected, ascended Christ as he is now bringing the revelation, the apocalypse of Jesu Christu. When you look at the definitions there, you see God, you see Christ, you see this awesome Savior, totally consistent with the rest of Scripture. But Courtney Brown, the remote viewer, goes out, and other remote viewers are doing this. They're going out into that realm where the prince of the power of the air, the collective unconscious, the ether, the astral plane, in that which some believe is the second heavenlies, where the demons and angels battle, where the demons are, that they're going out there unaided and in a wrong way. They've crossed a line. But they're dealing with ancient, powerful beings they might think is non-human intelligences, but the Spirit of God says you're dealing with arche. You're dealing with exousia authorities. You're dealing with cosmocrators that are massively powerful in comparison to humanity. You're dealing with panareus pneumaticae. You're dealing with entities that are all of the same nature, all of the same agenda, all under the same head by the hundreds of millions, if not billions of them, leading the world into one specific agenda. You can read about it in Revelation 12. Now, Courtney Brown, those who are having out-of-the-body experiences, like the movie demonstrates, and I thought the movie, Insidious, in analyzing what they did, showing this insidious, horrible, evil presence that basically to everybody couldn't be detected, but because of the out-of-body experience and because, again, Hollywood, they're showing it coming to literally come upon the boy and fuse and seek to enter into. I mean, it was an incredible, I mean, just like we would see know how it works with demonized individuals. It depicts again a level of the insidious nature, and that movie depicted the concept of this panareus, this evil, wicked presence. Now let me go over in definition that specific kind of demon. And then we'll also, once again, go over and give examples of the planos. I wanted to give you the two scriptural places for the panareus That is in Ephesians 6, and then planos is in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now, they are extremely active. Believers are told that, specifically in Ephesians, that your struggle is not against flesh and blood. Here's where your battle is. This is who is battling you. This is who brings warfare and attack. This is what this array of demonic or collective demonic presence is leading the world astray, with Satan, of course, as the head. There's a big picture of this in Revelation 12. The goal is global, so you've got to understand their extent. We need to know the totality of biblical revelation when it deals with this, so that by deep, deep understanding of biblical revelation, of the Holy Spirit's revelation, if you're a believer, the Spirit of God's in you, and you're meant to have all of this, there's a reason why all of it is there. And we need to study and study and study and bring in the revelation, receive it into our lives that gives us massive discernment. Gives us the content by which the Spirit of God can remind us and show us and warn us, increasing our capacity for a Spirit of God level discernment, for the Spirit of God. Now, I'm saying that on the other side of the fence, all kinds of spirits are giving individuals abilities. The Cosmocrators, I believe, will give people abilities. I believe Planos spirits will primarily engage individuals, communicate, and lead them into didache of daimonia, teachings, writings. Let's take a look. In the Panareus, this depiction of this word anyway, and again, the Spirit of God is defining the actual being as being wicked. I mean, we're dealing wicked in the sense of sexual addiction, perversions in that sense. We're dealing with wicked in the sense of inspirers of crime. Let me give some background to this, because I think that, you know, as we've engaged demonized individuals over the years, 30 years now plus, we have dealt with people that have had some really bad, addictive, perverted, I mean in the criminal sense too, sexual drives and inspiration in their life. Now, many of them do not realize, and not in every case, but in some of the cases we dealt with, behind the sexual addiction perversion, whether you think in terms of necrophilia, bestiality, you can even think in terms of in the area of pedophilia. And let me give you one example in the case of homosexual and homosexual rape. We are dealing with a young man anyway because of what occurred to him as a victim by a chosen one. But he had also gone off and became a little wild because of what occurred to him, and he was at a rave, an underground rave party, where during the night sometime there's an older gentleman that grabbed a hold of him and forcefully sexually abused him. Now, when we engaged him, he just would have had this. He also sexually abused some others. He had a drive for it. He had a insatiable lust for it, and he was perverted, wrong, criminal, inaction, and it was done to him. Now, when we dealt with him and began to pray for him, I'm telling you, I had a former law enforcement individual standing next to me. As we saw and I felt this presence in him, I commanded in the name of Jesus for it to come forward. And I wish I could have had a recorder. This insidious speaking, strange, I mean, just the voice level of this demonic Panareus spirit, this wicked, twisted, insidious, dark demonic entity, gave this horrific laugh and spoke and said, you know, we are in him. And when we commanded how he got in, it became aware, both he understood and the demonic, as we engaged from that, that homosexual rape that occurred by an older man. Now, when that occurred, there was a transference. The demons that had collected in that man over time, when he did this violent act, usually the victim in a violent act like this goes passive. They go limp and passive. They're under violent rape. And there's obvious that fear, like on a ritual table, fear and terror is raised, but also the sexual energies are raised, as in a sex ritual, demonic, satanic sex ritual. By the way, the end of the month here in April and May, massive Wall Purges Night and May Day and so forth, we have this massive rituals coming up, abductions and so forth, which includes sex rituals that lead ultimately to blood and even human blood rituals and human sacrifice. Now, I mention that because I believe that in those sex rituals that Satanists are involved in, that it involves this kind of demonic presence. This Panareus Pneumaticae, that is wicked, insidious, perverted, perverting. I mean, they seek to pervert, getting into lives. They lead to perversions. They inspire towards deep wickedness. But let me just say, in the sexual realm, they inspire, and this is the kind of demonic presence we deal with. And in that young boy, when that demon came up, again, I can remember way back then, years and years ago, talking about it afterwards, when we commanded the spirit, finally commanded it out of him, get out, and it did because of the authority of Christ. And the boy was set free from that particular spirit in any way, and talked about it. And knew that he had something that was driving him that came in through transfer. So in a lot of, not all, but in a lot of sexual rape cases, in a lot of those kind of things, and specifically in satanic rituals where it is a sex ritual, well, the goal is that the sexual energies are raised, and during that ultimate time, I'll say it that way, the ultimate time, demonic presence is to slide over from the demonized perpetrator, again, perverted, evil, wicked perpetrator, and go into the victim or the ritual. Well, they're still in a sense a victim too. So transference can occur. We've dealt a lot with individuals that have been, and for some in the world of sexual abuse, where they've buried it like a beach ball under water, they've held it down in their life for years, an episode. Woundedness, terror, fear, you know, and so forth, especially if they're a little kid and they got all this hidden down there, where it brings massive dysfunction and influences them to start doing the same thing, because it's very possible that demonic, this Panareus demonic presence is attached to that woundedness inside. And will, little by little by little, seek to influence the individual to begin to think about and be driven towards the same thing. So a lot of individual people, listen, if there's a sexual desire that is like insatiable and it just, you're driven and you know that, you know, you get out of control and you just do things, you know it's evil, you know it's wicked. There's the sin nature that, you know, if you give yourself to it, read Romans 6 all the way through, Romans chapter 6. If you give yourself to that sin nature, you can become a slave. It brings about addiction, but that opens the door then for a Panareus wicked demonic presence that has either inspired a person into that sin, perversion, and or then attaches and can become deeply embedded and make a stronghold out of this, to the point of committing crime, raping children, raping others, sexual serial rapists. By the way, when it comes to crime, when it comes to Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy, and many others in the sexual serial rapists, murderers, many of them were multiples, subpersonalities that were demonized. That's why they can be so friendly up front, so seemingly harmless up front, until the demonized subpersonality that is a predator is waiting to switch. A lot of crimes, we're involved with a few of those kind of crimes locally here in trying to nail the individual that did it, because unless they get help or get pulled out of society, they will continue. There may be even those who have perverted sexual addiction to the point of crime and rape and harming others listening. You may understand there's a presence, there's an energy over you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I pray that right now it'll be exposed. I ask the Lord Jesus to miraculously engage the demonic presence and break that presence over you. We rebuke Parnaeus, dark, evil, wicked spirits over individuals listening right now. We ask the Lord Jesus to destroy their work and command them to get out. And we ask individuals listening that may have this problem, repent now, turn to Christ, give your heart to Jesus Christ, and renounce the past and renounce the energy or drive or presence, or maybe you know it is a spirit. Renounce this now. Call on the name of the living Christ. The blood of Jesus will bring cleansing to you. The power of God will bring freedom to you. Total forgiveness can come to you, but you got to stop and you got to turn to the living Christ. And so we pray it wherever you are and whenever you listen. I ask the Lord Jesus in his omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence to break this kind of demon, wicked, evil, perverted spirit in those with evil, wicked, perverted sexual addiction or criminal serial addiction. This could be combined in the world. See, we see a lot of this in the bars and places, strippers and dancers, and where there's methamphetamine and there's crack, cocaine, and meth, and all of that pharmakion, the drugs inspired by the demons, and then the behavior, and then the demonic presence all connected. Listen, we're finding that, well, it all works as an unholy trinity. The sexual industry, the drug industry, and then the wicked addictions in these areas and criminal aspects in these areas. And this includes prostitution on both sides of the fence, male and female, in the area of lesbian, homosexuality, bestiality, necrophilia. There are websites now that teach people how they can go out and have sex with their angels. Well, you're not having sex with any angels. Angels of God would never conceive of this, but the demons would. Porneus, pneumatikai will. They will. They will engage. Incubus and succubus is connected to this kind of demonic presence. That's why I'm saying you've got to really deal with this. And for those that do prayers and deliverance over individuals, and you're doing counseling where somebody has just a drive, an insatiable, you know, they know it's evil, they know it's wrong, they're trying to break it, and it's not about a 12-step. It is about engaging a demonic energy power, an operative spirit, a Porneus spirit that is driving. Now, some listening, it may be that this kind of demonic entity was in your family line, or again, somebody did something where transference came, or as many today, you open the door. And it's one thing to give over to the sin nature and get addiction, and you know you need to repent and turn away from this, and you've got to burn the bridges. You've got to walk away, burn the bridges, and you need the living Christ. And the new nature, Romans 8, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He and he alone in Christ Jesus can set you free, giving you a new nature to walk away, cleansed, washed, freed. But if it's a demon, if it's this kind of demonic presence, and you do nothing about it, it will continue to drive and drive and drive and seek others to come in, leading you into insidious, radical, horrific, evil, pedophilia, even to the point, as so many cases nowadays, where they're driven to get rid of the evidence of the horrible crimes involving death also. Porneus would involve the wickedness that would lead individuals to insidious murder. To, you know, and so, you know, there's psychological profiling. Most everything I've read on that subject doesn't even touch this issue. Doesn't even touch this issue, nor can it. Nor can those without the Spirit of Christ and the authority of Jesus engage. I would say this, in psych wards and especially in prisons, there are many. And some of you in prison, law enforcement, and many of you counselors and workers in psych wards, I know you're going to agree with this. You see in some of the horrific criminals and the horrific wickedness and you can call it dysfunction, whatever you want to call it, you see that there is a presence, a demonic, evil, wicked. I mean, we're talking wicked. Now, that's what the Spirit of God describes here in Panareus. That kind of spirit, demon. Now, I will tell you this. If you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you'll read about the apocalypse of the man of sin, the Antichrist. And eventually, listen, and before that happens, there is Satan who's at work with all kinds of counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. But don't forget the rest. Stop. Don't forget the rest. The global operating agenda is to dirty the human race and bring it into wicked addiction. So that wicked, addictive lives will be either inspired directly by or be open to Panareus' demonic presence. So you read in 2 Thessalonians 2 very carefully now. There's counterfeits, satanic signs, wonders, and miracles. They're real. More will come. It's all about deceiving, you know, the world and leading towards the chaos and Antichrist. But it goes on right in the context to say, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. In every sort of evil, wickedness that deceives those who are perishing. Now, maybe you're listening. You're monitoring the show. Your background is Satanism. And you know rituals, sex rituals. You know why Satanists do sexual rituals even prior to larger blood rituals and human sacrifice rituals? Because perverted sexual acts guided. Who do you think writes the rituals? Who do you think inspires the detail of the sexual rituals? You can look at the sexual or the satanic calendar on the web. You can look at all year long. There's all kinds of usually girls between 7 and 17. Now, they use boys. They use others, too. But there's a primary emphasis, even with babies and children, where there is perverted, wicked, evil, insidious sexual acts perpetrated on individuals. One of the issues is making the victim passive, a passive receiver of demonic porneus spirits. In chosen ones, subpersonalities could be highly trained to be sex slaves, sexual perpetrators to bring about compromise in others, and demonized with this kind. They've been through a lot of sexual perverted stuff where transference of this demonic presence comes across. So in this alone, the dark side, you know, individuals that we've dealt with for years, they made it, they've confessed it very clearly. They know why they do this, these kind of sexual perverted rituals, because it dirties the conscience and pacifies them in the reception of not only the because of the sexual energy and emotion, it's all brought in. Demonic presence in the perversion of what God has given as good. By the way, we do have a training course out called Sexual Decadence and the End of Man. Now, I've been told that there's a few of the links have been broken or not working. For me, they're working. Others, they've had some problems, so we're going to try to do something about that. But on the website, shatterthedarkness.net, on the left-hand side, Sexual Decadence and the End of Man. And we deal with this by, I think, 20 hours of materials. Because it's one thing to be in addictive sin nature practice, becoming a slave driven. But it's another thing to open the door to these kind of spirits. And I don't doubt that based on that biblical prophecy in 2 Thessalonians 2, that as counterfeit satanic signs, wonders, and miracles ramp up all the more, well, also ramping up every sort of evil. Do you see in the world around us sexual perversion rampant, sexual decadence rampant. Do you see this? Well, based on what the Spirit of God has said, the rise of this wicked, perverted, insidious level of evil, which I would say involves criminal crime acts and sexual decadent perversions. It's where, again, the conscience and the life has been brought under slavery to the behavior and then empowered insidiously by panareus pneumatikai, these wicked, horrible demonic presences. If you know anybody, you got to understand something. It's one thing to lead people to repentance, but I would really take time to pray, and I would do this in teams with this kind of thing. I'm going to tell you the exact story that occurred. I'll tell you quickly, there was a chosen one in front of us, a pastor to my right. We were doing deliverance prayer. We knew there was demonic presence there. All of a sudden, the person's face changes. There is an insidious, despicable-looking, demonic, kind of an imprint. The face changed, and I could tell, and I'm writing a note down. I saw the other pastor write a note down, and all of a sudden, this demonic presence begins to speak through a personality. And literally says that their spirit of lust functions, a spirit, a panareus, wicked spirit operating this way. And all of a sudden I felt from that person like a wave coming to me of this evil, radical, ugly. It's almost as though they were trying to draw me into that. And the moment I felt that, my reaction was instant. I commanded, stop it in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. We both began to pray, and we kicked, well, by the authority of the Lord Jesus, we commanded that demon, and it left. Later, I looked at the other pastor and said, what did you write down? He said, as soon as that presence came up, they wrote down spirit of lust. I wrote down L referring to a demon operative in that area. A demon can be operative. What do you do? Well, you can take time to renounce. In the name of Jesus, I renounce all the things I've gotten into. I renounce all the perverted sexual things I've got into. I renounce all panareus, wicked, evil spirits, and all that they've tried to do. I renounce this in my family generational line. I renounce whatever I've gone through in victimization. I renounce their work. Lord Jesus, deliver me from all of this kind of demonic presence, influence, lust. And I also renounce, based on Colossians 3, to put to death every kind of sexual sin, lust, all of this. I renounce this and put it to death. And I ask the Lord Jesus to cleanse me. I ask the Lord Jesus and as I renounce these demons and these works of the Pornareus wicked spirits, Lord Jesus, crush their work. Deliver me. Deliver us. Pray that way. And as you do, yield your life to Jesus and ask God to fill you and to heal you and to turn to him. And if needed, seek others out to help you even more. Now, we have a training course called Freedom Encounters that delves into this area that will help you. And that course, Sexual Decadence in the End of Man, there is how to get out of some of these addictions. So, and we just had somebody email us or write a note to us about this. So there it is. This is going to be on the massive increase, so much so that in the future, you can look at the book of Revelation. When all of a sudden there's a call to repentance, it says that those who dwell on the earth, they're not willing. They won't repent. Notice the association between what they're not going to repent of. Their worship, engagement of demons, the pharmakon, drugs inspired by the demonic realm that open up to the demonic realm, and they won't turn away from their sexual addictions, perversions. And we're talking about perversions, not, listen, if you're married and you, listen, God created to be great and good and have all the fun you want in that context of being married and go, you know, have all the fun you want and be blessed as God blessed this area. He created it. It's for good, for enjoyment, for procreation. But obviously, the other side has perverted it. And there is so much influence now worldwide, it is incredible. Let me touch quickly on this other side of the fence. Planos spirits. Planos. 1 Timothy 4:1, where the Holy Spirit says loudly, explicitly, that these kind of seducing, that's what they're unleashing. And I see, when you look backwards in all your research and study, you can see over the last 70 years, you see what happened to Nazi Germany? The first proliferation of occult literature is the spirit-inspired literature that would open up minds and hearts to planos, seducing spirits. That's their goal. That's their function. They've come to seduce. They can seduce psychiatrists and psychologists and philosophers and teachers and others. And their goal as an imposter is to purposely seduce when it comes to teaching doctrine, to come about what they, the dark spirit, will say about the Bible, about Christ, and then give an alternative, and then bring mixture, and then bring a twisting of Scripture. And these kind of spirits will always bring about a fake Christ that is not God in human flesh. They will move writers and those who are engaging these kind of planos spirits, they will move them away from the real Christ. That's why they can never get to God. If you're being led by this, or you know others and led by these kind of spirits, the planos, I mean, they're like these, they are here by the, I'm going to say again, by the millions, to engage. I think they show up as imposters, spirit guides, and beings that want to bring automatic writing, revelation, teaching, and so forth. I think a lot of them are operative out of what the ancients have called the Akashic Records. And so they're bringing about, their whole goal is to influence individuals, get them to believe, and then use them to bring about writings that bring out two specific Luciferic teachings. The promise of an evolution of humanity to deity or some spiritual light being, which has never occurred, never will, it's a lie. And then the second thing is the development of a new order. We need a new order. A spiritual osmosis, a planetary wave is coming to lead the world into a new world order. So that's the job of the planos spirits. Now, because we're coming down to the last 2 minutes, let me say this for those listening. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Again, Thursday night, April the 14th, and Friday, April the 15th, we put these together. So if you're listening on Friday night, Thursdays and Fridays materials have been brought together, and because of the missing of Thursday night and what occurred with the equipment. But let me encourage you that if you don't know, if you're listening, and I know there's a lot of listeners that don't know Christ, God loves you. The living Christ can come to cleanse and empower and free you. The Savior who shed his blood at the cross loves you. He does personally. He seeks you during this entire hour you listen. So turn to the living Christ. Call on the living Christ. Come to Christ. Email me. Write to me on our website, left-hand side, under Dynamic Discipleship. There is some MP3s that tell you, or they're how do you know you're saved? What happens at the moment of salvation? I hope that you'll get a hold of those. I pray the Lord Jesus crush every ounce of the demonic work, expose it for what it is, set you free. May believers stand and work all the more harder, labor all the more harder in the power of the Spirit of God to reach many, many for Christ. ShadowTheDarkness.net on the website. We're going to say goodnight tonight. Remember us in prayer, and listen, remember us, please, in support. We love you. Good night.